Today, I get a chance to speak, and those of you who have been around for very long know that when Matt preaches, he always preaches on his favorite verse in the Bible. And it's never the same one. It's always his favorite, though. It's like, I'm going to talk about my favorite verse. So today, I thought, it's my chance to preach about my favorite verse in the Bible. And it's a verse that a lot of you have probably heard or you know, you've maybe said it, and here's what the verse says. God won't give you any more than you can handle. Amen. Problem. That's not in the Bible. But a lot of us say it. A lot of us have heard it. When something hard's going on, people don't know what to say, so, you know, God won't give you any more than you can handle. Amen, amen. Now you guys can refute them and say, I'd like chapter and verse, because that's not in the Bible. In fact, a lot of people think it's kind of a misquoting and a misunderstanding of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And here's what that says. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what's common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so you can endure it. And this is talking about sin and temptation. This isn't talking about trials and tribulations. It's not talking about when life's hard. It's talking about temptation. And God has given us things to endure and to overcome temptation. He's given us scripture, and he's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us a church community and music and friends and accountability. So when we are tempted by sin, he has given us a way out. Problem is, a lot of us don't use those things, and we still succumb to temptation. But this verse has nothing to do with God giving us more than we can handle, or not giving us more than we can handle. In fact, God does allow or give us at times in our lives more than we can handle. I'm not going to get into the theological aspect of does he cause or allow. We can talk about that after the service. Either way, things happen, and God, who is sovereign and who is king, could stop them, but a lot of times he doesn't. And in fact, the author of 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul, he's writing a letter to this church in Corinth, and this is so misquoted that in 2 Corinthians, his second letter, Paul goes on to say this. He says, we do not want you to be uninformed. This would be a great refute for those, when somebody says that God doesn't give us any more than we can handle. Just pull out 2 Corinthians 1, 8, 9. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Paul said, life was so hard that we just didn't want to continue living. Life itself was hard. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. And Paul goes on to explain why God allows things to happen. He says, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. God will give you more than you can handle so that you can rely on him. So you can rely on his church, his bride. 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9 says, Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. He had this thorn in his flesh, this thing that he just couldn't get over. He couldn't get rid of. And he said, three times I pleaded, not just prayed, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said, my grace is sufficient, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Paul says in 2 Corinthians and multiple other places in the New Testament, life's hard, and God will give you more than you can handle. And he does that so that his greatness, his power will shine through. So with all of that in mind, with the idea that God does allow hard things in our lives, I want to kind of continue talking about some of the things Byron talked about last week. Byron
used Romans 15:1 last week, and it says, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves." Romans 15 says, we can't just please ourselves. We have to carry each other's burdens. We need to lift each other up. And I appreciate that, especially because he talked about in Luke chapter 5, the story of four friends who carried their paralyzed friends to Jesus. They couldn't get in. Jesus was in a house, and they couldn't get in to talk to him, so they climbed up on the roof and ripped it apart and lowered him down so that he could be healed. These friends, these paralyzed man's friends, probably had some other things they could have been doing that day. You know, sure, they had a honey-do list. Maybe the football game was on. You know, the Palestinian Lions versus, this is why you don't go off script. You know, there was a football game against the Jerusalem Jews. I don't know. They were Jews. It was fine. It's fine. Thank you. It was a great game. And, you know, they had things to do. But no, they said, no, I'm not going to worry about my pleasing myself. I'm going to bear my friend's weakness. I'm going to carry him and help him be healed. So as I was thinking about this scripture that Byron shared last week in Luke 5, I thought about Galatians 6:2. And this really is one of my favorite scriptures. It's one of my favorites because it's happened so frequently to me. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? Well, it's love God and love other people. So when you carry other people's burdens, you are showing that you love God, and you are showing that you love others. So today, as I said, I'm going to share a little bit. I'm going to share some of the trials and tribulations, some of the hard times of my life, and have some of my friends who have been with me, who have carried our burdens, come and share with you all. So it's not just Troy and his thoughts and his words on this scripture, but some other people. Now, I could have picked 20 people for each one of these points. Each one of the people who are coming to share, they could speak at each one of my 3 points today, but for time's sake, and so that you guys can get to the restaurants before the Baptists, we're going to just have a couple of them at a time. Okay? Yes, I know. And before I share these ways that we can carry each other's burdens, I think this has to be said. You have to be willing to be vulnerable and allow people to carry your burdens. You have to open yourself up and say, I can't do it alone. God has given me more than I can handle. So please help carry my burdens. If you're too prideful, if your ego is too big to say, I need help, then we can't carry your burdens. We can't come alongside. What do you think would have happened to the paralyzed man if he would have said to his friends, no, I got it. Yeah, I know it's 6 kilometers, but I'll get there. No, he was willing to be vulnerable and say, you know, this isn't the coolest, this isn't the best thing for you guys to have to carry me, but I need Jesus. I need help. So these four friends came along and they carried him. And the reason why that we were going to sing that song by the Hollies, He's Not Heavy, He's My Friend, is because it took 4 of them to carry this man. One person, it would have been heavy. But when we're vulnerable and we allow people to come and carry our burdens, when we open it up to 1 or 2 or 4 or 10 people, that burden gets spread out amongst the people, and it's not heavy because we're friends. So let's jump in. How do we carry each other's burdens? First thing, we sacrifice for each other. We sacrifice for each other. I love Romans 15:1 again. It says, we're not just pleasing ourselves. That's what sacrifice is. It's not just about me. I'm willing to give up the things that I like my comfort in order to help someone else. Here's how Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 5. He says, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Jesus says, sacrifice. When someone slaps you, you want to puff up and you want to retaliate, but instead, sacrifice your own ego and sacrifice what you want to do. When someone asks for something, don't just give them what they ask for. Go above and beyond. Don't just give them the shirt. Hey, here's a coat too. Sacrifice. First trial I want to talk about is in the early 2000s, I was serving at a church in southern Indiana, and I got really hurt by the church. I was a part-time music minister, kind of like what I'm doing here, and I got really, really hurt. My family, we got really hurt. I'm not going to get into details because I've forgiven them, and I went to the elders later down the road and told them I forgave them. But we were so hurt that we stopped going to church. Kind of my philosophy was, God, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Spirit, I love you. But your people stink. And if this is how your bride is going to treat other followers of Jesus, I don't want to be a part of them. And maybe some of you can relate. Some of you have been hurt by the church. We stopped going. But eventually, a few couples started coming around and talking to us, and we started a small group, and that small group turned into a home church. We called it Faith Journey Fellowship, and we met every week, and we studied together, and we sang together, and we prayed, and we sacrificed. We kept giving our tithes and offerings, and we helped people in the community in ways that I've never seen a church do before until I came here. We paid for bills, we got groceries, we came along people who were hurting. We bought a family a house. We sacrificed. And in the middle of that season of Faith Journey Fellowship, in 2008, I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. Stage 2B, and I went through 6 months of chemo and 6 weeks of radiation. And that little group of 12 of us, five other families, they sacrificed for us. They gave financially. They watched the kids. The kids were, 9 and 7. And they would watch them so that Rachel could have a break. They came alongside and they carried our burdens. And this morning I want to have one of those people come and kind of talk to you. His name's Joe Martin. So if you would, welcome Joe to come up and thanks for coming, brother. So, Joe, I use that scripture because during that season, we went up to a church in Michigan, and that scripture was used in the sermon. And on the drive home, you were really moved by that, and it changed kind of how you thought about things. And even since then, that was 18 years ago. We still talk about that verse, and how can I give my coat? So why did that resonate with you so much, and how did that kind of transform the way you thought about supporting, carrying each other's burdens?
It was a long time ago. Even thinking about Faith Journey, it's been hard, like remembering that long ago.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that really kind of stuck out was the fact that Jesus was talking about people that really took advantage of us. Mm. And in our serving at the home church, we realized that, you know, you give money and You give money and people misuse the money. And you want to say, well, give me that money back. And I think Jesus was really talking there, that the thing that stuck with us that we even practiced a lot was, we're talking about people that maybe even on purpose are stealing from you and hurting you. And even this morning I read again that scripture, and it says, if the guy keeps begging, keep giving. And it really just said, you know, to me, we aren't naturally that way. We are naturally the totally opposite way. And he's just saying, you just got to do it and you got to practice it. And that was the good thing about being able to do it together.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And we did have that. We had some of that, maybe a lot of that, where people were, we would give, we would sacrifice, and then in our eyes, they were misusing it, right? So the second question I have for you is, so now, 2022, what does sacrificing for friends, what does sacrifice look like for you and your family now, 18 years post Faith Journey Fellowship and the scripture? What does it look like for you to sacrifice for folks now?
I think it's, Jan and I have learned, we had a jump start because both sets of our parents were, just gave their life and everything they had, you know, and so we saw it lived out. So that helped us along the way. But I think doing it on a level like we were able to do, where, you're constantly challenged to give and just to give. It's never convenient. I think the one thing we've learned is it's easy to give our money sacrificially. It's hard to give our time sacrificially. The whole thing with the coat that he told us that kind of I wrote down is like it's what we cling to. And so it doesn't matter what you have, if you have a boat or a house or anything. A lot of times it's preached against that. You know, like it's not about that. It's about, will I use my boat in my house? And that's the one thing we've learned is everything we have is at his disposal. And I kind of wrote it out just because I really believe this, like what's mine really is yours. And it's because what's mine really is his. Mm. And the biggest thing is we've learned is it's hardest with grace. It's the one thing that we have that God's dumped on us and poured on us, and we're so selfish with it. Mm. I want to hold it. And even it, I'd like to say, hey, we got there. We are sacrificially giving. But I can tell you it's a battle because we're all just, we want to hold on to our stuff, yeah. You know.
So those of you taking notes, hope you wrote down what Joe just said. What's mine is yours because what's mine is his. That's huge. So Joe, thanks for sacrificing for us for so long and for loving on me and for carrying my burdens, brother. Appreciate you.
Hey, can I say one thing?
No.
One thing?
Okay.
I'm telling you, on the other side of sacrificial giving is a friendship that we have with these guys. You know, their family was our family, and we lived it, and we loved it, and it's there now.
Amen.
Amen.
Love you. So first way to carry each other's burdens is sacrifice. What's mine is yours, and because what's mine is God's. And that's big. I intentionally didn't ask the people who are sharing today to tell me what they were going to say, because I wanted to be in the moment and hear it as you guys are hearing it. So that was great, Joe. Thanks. Second thing we can do is fight alongside each other. We fight alongside each other. In Exodus chapter 17, there's this beautiful scripture of this battle between the Amalekites and the Israelites. And basically what happens is Moses says, hey, you go and fight, and I'm going to go stand on a hill with the rod of the Lord. And as long I'm going to hold it up and proclaim victory. And as long as Moses' hands were held up, the Israelites would win. But when his arms got tired and drop, the Amalekites would come back and start winning. So two of his friends, Aaron and Hur, come and have him sit down, which I think is genius. Sit down, have a rest, and then they held up his arms. Here's what it says. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with a sword. We have to fight alongside each other. Now notice that preposition is important. Alongside. Not against. We fight alongside. We come alongside and we say, hey, I see your hands are tired. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to help in this battle, because this life is a battle sometimes. It's hard. The hardest battle that we've been a part of, and if you've been around here very long, you know that December of 2019, our 20-year-old daughter Abigail died. She was sitting in bed and her heart stopped, and that was 34 months ago yesterday. And it's been a hard 34 months. The first 24 were really hard. Just so hard. And it was a battle that I wanted to quit. I wanted to throw in the towel and say, I'm done. But I've had a lot of you come alongside and say, hey, I see your arms are tired. Let me hold them up for you. One person in particular, the week that Abigail died and leading up to her funeral, was just very instrumental in fighting for us. I asked Brant and Rachel last night, what's a word I could use to help explain Flavia? And Brant said, advocate. She advocated for us. Because here's what happens. Whenever you go through that kind of trauma, your brain shuts down. You're in shock, and you don't know left from right, and everything's just a blur. I don't remember much from that week, and I'm kind of thankful. But one thing I do remember is Flavia. Flavia was there the night that Abigail died. She cried with us and held us. She told us to send Brant home so that he didn't have to be there through the entire trauma of it all. The next morning, she was there to help us talk to the funeral home. I don't remember the funeral home at all. I remember going and talking, but I don't remember it. But Flavia, she had her little notepad, and she's taking notes, and she came up with a plan, and she led that. Our arms were shot. And she came alongside and held them up for that week, and she advocated for us. So Flavia, I'm going to ask you to come up and answer a couple questions as well. So if you would, thank Flavia for coming up. It's weird to call you Flavia because I call you Flavs. I might be the only person to call you Flavs, but it works for me. All right, so Flavs, you and a lot of people fought for us, a lot of people in this room and who will be here second service, a lot who are on fall break, and you guys fought for us. So why do you and Tim fight for us and for so many people? You are an advocate, not just for us, but for so many. So why do you do that?
When you first asked me that question, I was like, I don't know. But then I sat down, I thought about it, and I came up with two answers. The first answer is the Christian answer. I fight because I was commanded to do so. In Galatians 6:2 talks about that by carrying each other's burdens, we will fulfill the law of Christ. And the law of Christ, you know, is love one another as you love yourself, like you love yourself. So that's the easy answer.
That is the easy one.
But then I thought, no, there's a more personal personal answer to this. And it's that my friends are my treasure. They are my true treasure. They are the most precious treasure one could have on the side of heaven. And it's worth fighting for them. It's worth being, coming alongside them and being part of their lives.
So that's hard, though. I mean,
it is.
It's hard when, I mean, you have your own burdens and you have your own things going on in your life, and we all do. So to carry each other's burdens, to fight alongside, it wears us out. And in fact, after Abigail's funeral, you guys had already had a trip to Pigeon Forge planned with the family, and we ended up going down and staying in another cabin. But you got really sick. I mean,
I
really sick.
Yeah, my body now, shut down.
Your body shut down because you fought so hard for us, right? So what does it look like to fight? What does that look like to fight so hard in a practical way that your own body shuts down?
So it's not easy. And it's not going to be convenient. It's not going to be at a time that, Abigail died 10 days before Christmas. I wasn't ready for Christmas. But you have to be available. You have to be there. And it's going to be hard because you're going to share the pain. You're going to hurt with your friends. However, the rewards completely outweigh all the hurt and the sacrifice you go through. I mean, you create such a deep bond with those people, and you truly become family. And it's different than regular family. I can't explain why. It's just a deeper relationship. And the most important thing, I think, is you come alongside a time when people are most vulnerable in their faith. They are so vulnerable that they are ready to walk away from God. I mean, they are ready. And that is a huge value of you being alongside, fighting for them so they can remain in the faith. Now, a few practical, I don't know if this is practical, but, you have to be available. And you have to listen, because our tendency is to do something that we think it's good for that person. And you need to listen to find out what do they want at this moment. I remember one time we were at the funeral home, and Rachel broke down, and she said, she was angry, and she said, I don't want to deal with this. This is dumb. This is all dumb, choosing stationary, whatever. And I understand, it's super dumb. And I looked at Rachel, and I stopped, and I prayed, and I was like, what do I say here? And I didn't have anything to say, and she said, this is not bringing Abigail back. And I turned to Rachel and I said, no one will bring Abigail back and no one will replace Abigail. Abigail will never be replaced. And once, I don't know why I said those words, but once I said it, she was like, oh, okay, let's look. What is this? And we moved on. I was like, but it's paying attention. The other thing is you need to rely on God when you're doing this. I wasn't alone. I wasn't doing this alone. I wasn't victorious and fighting. I'm a fighter typically, but God was what was carrying my burden when I was doing this. He said, come, his yoke is light. I mean, his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and he's right. But the most important thing of all is that you don't do this alone. we are supposed to do this together.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen. Thanks, Flops. The third way we can carry each other's burdens is share faith with one another. And we've had friends who have helped carry the burdens through these times in our lives who don't follow Jesus. But the ones who have been the most influential and the ones who have stuck through things the longest are those who share faith with us. In small group on Wednesday night, Jim Malachar, I'm going to mess this up, Jim, but Jim said, yeah, this makes sense that our Christian friends are most valuable and they're most important because God should be at the center of our lives and they should be at the center of our friendships. God should be at the center of all of our friendships. So sharing faith with one another. So I could list 30 things, but two things really quickly. Pray. Prayer. Praying for, praying with your friends. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit on all kinds of occasions, and all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. 1 Timothy 2 says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Pray for, pray with your friends. Second, sharpen each other. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. How do we sharpen each other? Well, you can do that 100 ways. You can share scripture together. You can be in a small group together. You can come here and meet together. You can share a song. Hey, I heard this on the radio. Have you heard this? There are so many ways we can sharpen each other and improve each other's walk. And I have a few friends who I text frequently. Rob Ratliff, Jake Martindale, and Josh Koontz. We're kind of in this text thread. And multiple times throughout the week, somebody will send something. Hey, here's a scripture. Hey, could you pray about this for me? And we're sharpening each other. We're pushing each other. We're sharing faith with each other so that during these times of trouble and hardship, we know we got I know I have some brothers who are helping my faith walk. So I want to have them come up and share a few things as well. So if you would, welcome Rob and Jake. I just looked at the clock. I shouldn't have done that. Eric, I told Eric this morning I didn't practice to see how long this sermon was, and I said it could be 43 minutes. He said at 44, he's shutting my sound off, so... So, I don't have much longer. Question one for you guys. Why is praying for one another so important to you?
I mean, for me, God desires a relationship with us and desires us to be in a relationship with others. And I think that's one of the ways we can deepen our relationships is if we're praying for one another. And in James 5, it tells us that the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. And when you see God answer a prayer, I think that deepens our faith and it deepens our relationships with each other and brings glory to God.
Amen.
Well, for me, prayer, yes, is a connection, that personal friendship, closeness with God. But I think, and I know in our case, there's times where if I'm going through something, you're going through something, we're not praying like we ought to be. So we need that advocate, like you said, and I know we have that with each other, to be able to pray for us when we're not able to pray. Mm. And that to me, and you got to be on the other side of that, ready to pray for a brother that you knows that needs prayer that might not be praying at the time.
Yeah.
So it's tough, but and that's the spiritual realm. We need that fight in the spiritual realm, and that's powerful.
Yeah. And speaking of fight, Rob, I know you're helping lead the men's retreat that's coming up. And when we think about sharpening each other, how does something like that, a weekend, you know, a Friday night, Saturday, how does that sharpen other men? How does that weekend together help us share faith together?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing you got to get with someone, so to help sharpen each other. So, and this is a great opportunity just to come together with guys and share faith, hear the word, pray for each other during this time, and just get to know other guys that might become a great friend that will pray for you and fight alongside you. So it's a great opportunity to hear the word and get to know other guys.
Yeah. And Jake, when you think about sharpening each other, what kind of friendships, what does that look like for you? How have friends sharpened you?
I mean, I think the biggest way is, I mean, sometimes scripture is hard to understand.
Yeah.
And just, you know, hearing other perspectives and what somebody understands from scripture has helped me to better understand it or to go back and reread it again. So that's been the biggest encouragement to me and accountability to be in the word and reading. But yeah, I mean, something that Rob and I used to run together in the mornings, and he would always have a scripture to share with me and what it meant to him. And that was just an encouragement to me to continue to be in the word and trying to better understand it.
Yeah. And it was probably like a way for you to, him to slow you down and be you thinking like, I need to be thinking about the scripture. Cause if you've ever run with Jake, he runs like he's a real runner. You're kind of a runner. I am not a runner. Well, thank you guys. Love you guys. So what do we do with all this? What do we do with the scripture and carrying burdens for each other? As I close, first I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Church family and friends, because the last 34 months have been so hard, and you have carried our burdens in a lot of ways. As individuals, as families, as a church, you've helped carry our burden. You've given. We started a 501c3 nonprofit called Loved Well, in honor of Abigail, and Abigail loved people well. She was a great friend. And she loved well because she was loved well. She was loved well by a lot of you. She was loved well by Jesus. And you guys have loved us well, so thanks. Because of your generosity, our company has given over $35,000 in 2 years to help local and global families who are going through trauma. $35,000 to carry people's burdens. So thanks. But maybe this morning you have some burdens of your own and you're like, I need some people to help me. Or maybe you don't really know this Jesus that connects us. You don't know the hope of saying, love God and love others. You don't know the hope of trauma and trials not burying you. And you need to know Jesus.
So this morning, we're going to sing a song that just says, I speak Jesus. And it's a song that just says, I want to speak Jesus over you all. As you guys sing, you're speaking Jesus over each other. And this morning, if you need to know Jesus, if you need to lay down a burden, if you just need to pray, we're going to invite you to use these stairs to come and lay those down. If you need to talk to someone, Matt will be up here. My hope for today was that you would recognize and that you would know, first, that you are loved well. That you don't have to carry your burdens alone. And secondly, that you would love well. That you would take up other people's burdens and you would say, I don't have much, but I can do this. And if God right now is telling you to do something, my prayer is that you'll do it.